You know, before we even get into the Word of God, you know, there are times when we just feel like God is just right there on you. I feel that this morning. And I'm overcome just with the words of that song as I reflected on them. I just broke down there for a minute as I'm thinking here that how good God is, how faithful God's been. Just standing up here this morning and seeing all of you here is a testament to the faithfulness of God. My, what a good God we serve. I'm overwhelmed this morning, humbled before His majesty. My, I love the Lord. I couldn't do without Him. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about that faithfulness, just so happens. I'd actually intended this message to be for tonight. But as I was going over it, this felt like, no, this is the message for this morning. And then this morning's, what I thought was this morning's message, that'll be tonight. The title of this morning's message is The God of All Comfort. The God of All Comfort. I want to ask you something this morning, church. Have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever felt brokenhearted? Have you ever felt as if this life, or the things that we're going through in this life, are maybe a little too fierce, maybe a little too much, maybe the hurt is more than we could bear? Don't even have to answer that question. It's yes. Because everyone in this room is a human. Everyone in this room feels pain, feels loss, goes through hardships. It's something that we all share. And I am encouraged that the Lord God is a God of mercies, renewed morning by morning, as the song saying, that our God is the God of all comfort, that our God is a God who made Himself to the as the flesh of man and lived among us, experiencing our pain, so that not only do we have someone who is there to strengthen us, but that He comes along beside us and says, I'm not just walking before and behind you. He goes, as I'm walking with you, where you go, you are not alone. My, what a good God we have. The strength, the comfort, the encouragement of God. My, we are blessed to have it. You know, life has a way of becoming so hard at times that all we want is for the burdens of life just to be lifted off of us. We may say, Lord, just take this off of me. Just make it go away. Whatever it is, I don't understand. Just make it stop. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the comfort of God. And I pray that it'd be encouragement to you. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about the comfort of God. And I pray that it'd be an encouragement to you. Although I pray that tonight's message would be an encouragement to you as well. Amen? All right. There's some smiles. Join me as we pray, would you? Father God, we come before you this morning. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say other than thank you a million times over, and it would never suffice. Father, I'm humbled by you, Lord. I feel like the only place that we should ever be is on our knees, on our faces. Father, thank you. Again, thank you. Father, we thank you for your love, for your comfort, for your mercy, your strength. Father, we thank you for the price that was paid upon that cross, for the blood of Christ. Lord, by which each of us may have an opportunity, Lord, by the which we have the opportunity to know you, Lord, to feel your presence. And Father, might I say that we are thankful, not only for the many things that you give and the things that you've done, but Lord, that you are with us in all things. Father, that above all, you are holy. Lord, that, Father, one of the many things, though there are many things we could go on forever, Lord, endlessly counting all of your glories, Father, one of them that I'm most thankful for is that faithfulness. Father, for you never let us go. Lord, you've said in your word that no one can pluck us from your hand. Father, you said that wherever we go, there you'll be, even unto the ends of the world. Lord, we give you praise this morning, for you are worthy of it. Father, I thank you this morning from the depths of my heart for each and every one that's gathered here this morning. Father, we pray that, Lord, you'd be with us, that the Spirit would be guiding and ministering this morning. Lord, that you'd speak, Lord, through me. Father, for I'm a man of feebleness, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to have words of clarity, Lord, words which are understood. Father, help me to teach accurately your word. Father, I pray that you'd be attending unto the hearts of the people this morning that are within the sound of my voice, all those that might hear this message, Lord, that, Lord, your Spirit would come to indwell us and fill us with the fullness of God this morning, Lord, that there'd be a sweet skip in our heart, Lord, that we would have a spirit about us of warmth and comfort, Lord, and Father, just help us to see you and to know that we have a strength, Father, that overcomes all things, Lord, that casts out all shadows. Father, we love you, Lord. We pray this morning that the Spirit would be ministering. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, we pray that, Father, by the time the message ends this morning, that they'd be led by the Spirit, that you'd give that increase, Father, that they might know the blessings of God in salvation, that you may be glorified. Father, we love you. We praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 1. This is actually a pretty well-known swath of Scripture here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's been titled the chapter of comfort, because that is the topic of this chapter. It's been known as the chapter of comfort, because here we find a great deal on the comfort of God. Now, if you would, please join me as we begin here in the Scriptures this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll begin. We're not going to go through the whole chapter this morning. We could never do it justice, but I want to point out some things to you here that I pray will be a blessing to you. It begins there at verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. And Corinth, as you may know, is a city of the ancient world there. It was a very big, bustling city, a center of trade. They were dealing with a number of things. Paul writes to them. This is actually his second letter that he's written to them. So he's been working and dealing with them. They're a church that's been very difficult for Paul. But he writes to them here, and he says that he writes with all the saints which are in all of Achaia. That's the region there. He says, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone here says they could use a little bit of peace this morning? Anyone say, Lord, I could use some peace in my life? Anyone here say, God, thank you for grace in my life? What I think is interesting about this verse here as we get started this morning is that those who have eyes to see and ears to hear will know, and I pray that those who don't will soon come to know, that we have the peace of God because of the grace of God, that you cannot have one without the other, and that in having the one, you cannot have the other. It's a beautiful thing. Let me talk to you about that here before we really get into the heart of the message. Paul begins with his customary introduction, his customary greeting. He always does this, and he explains who he is. Paul, an apostle of God by the will of God. You say, well, why does he do that every time? Well, the reason is for this. These letters are letters not to an individual, but to church bodies, some of which he probably or may well know, but he may not. Not every church that he writes to has Paul visited. In fact, he speaks of many times how he looks forward to wanting to come to see them, right? Sometimes it's a secondary visit, but sometimes it's the first time. So he writes and introduces himself and his authority to preach and to teach on God, so that those who may not know him would know who he is, who it is that's writing this letter, right? Because this was a letter that's going to be read to everybody, and they were circulatory letters, not just one church, though it was addressed to a particular church and often about particular things. These letters were circular letters, meaning that they would go beyond around the churches, right? That we might all get this wisdom. In verse 2, Paul prays that the believers would have grace and peace from God. And as I said, I think everyone prays for a peaceful life. I don't know of anyone who honestly in their life says, Lord, send me pain, send me hard times. Father, I want my life to constantly be filled with strivings and difficulty. No one prays like that, all right? Unless you're a glutton for punishment. I don't know anyone who prays that. Never. What do we pray for? We say, Lord, I need some help, right? That's when we get on our knees and start praying the most. Now, hopefully we pray all the time, but I don't know about you, but the time in which I most feel compelled to get on my knees is when I say, God, what I'm dealing with is overwhelming me. God, what I'm dealing with is so much more than I know. Send me peace. Father, send me strength. Be with me in this. That's when we pray. That's when we pray our hardest and most fervent prayers. And I want you to see something here. Life has that way of no matter how strong we may be, life can beat us. It can wear us down. Now, a lot of people look at me, and although this isn't the truth of how things really are, this is the perception that you get, all right? And maybe it's just because I'm a pastor. I think all pastors kind of get somewhat of this. They look at me and they say, well, there's the pastor. He must have everything going right in his life. Surely he's a man of God who just has a great family life. He no issues there. Of course, he's just getting that under control. He's a man that, you know, strong in the Word of God, never really needs to wonder what something means. He just kind of clicks for him. He's a guy who, all of his financial needs are met there. You know, the Lord never really allows him to get too much into financial need. He works to make sure that he's got that. You know, he's also, with me, you might think, well, he's a military man. You know, strong man, strong-willed. But here's the thing. I am like everybody else, and you are just like I am, in that no matter how strong we may appear, no matter how much we may seem to have it together, all of us look at this life at times and we say, Lord, I'm not strong enough. Lord, this is too much for me. Father, you're going to have to help me because I can't get through this on my own. Part of that is just the way of the world, right? And part of that is the devil. Because the devil is craftier than you or I, and he's wiser than you or I, and he's mightier than you or I. And he says, you know what? No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how strong you feel, no matter how strong the world says you are, the devil says, I can break you. I can shake your faith. I can make you concerned about your life and all these things. And life tends to throw against us and says, you know what? I'm going to hit you in your finances. I'm going to hit you in your relationships. I'm going to hit you in your work life. I'm going to hit you in your morals. I'm going to make you contemplate the things of life, just shake you to your core. Friends, none of us are immune to these things. Not a one. Not a one. But I praise God. I praise God because no matter what it is that the world may throw against us, no matter how the storms of life may rage, no matter what the devil tries to do, God has already won the victory. God has already defeated the world. Whenever Christ came off that cross, really, let me say that differently. When God stayed up on that cross, when he stayed up on that cross, he defeated the world, death, sin, got the victory for eternity. And he says, because of this, you can overcome. Because of this, you have strength through Christ, in whom we can do all things, right? In Christ who strengthens me. It's not just a saying, folks. That's the truth. That's the truth. And I want it to be an encouragement to you this morning. A couple other things I want to point out here as we go through. I find it interesting because in this verse, before we move on, I want to really just bring it to light again. I want to just really double down on this, that because of God's grace, we have that peace. To know that no matter what happens in this world, keep this in mind. Folks, this is as bad as it's ever going to get. Because after this comes a promise that you know is going to be kept. After this comes an eternity with God the Father where every tear shall be wiped from our eyes. It's something where you look around and you say, you know what? No matter how this, what's going on in my life right now, no matter what things I'm dealing with, I know that kind of, I don't know why this just came to my head, but it does. Maybe it's because I have a bunch of redhead little girls. Annie, the song Annie sings, the sun will come up tomorrow. Only I'm not talking about that big ball. I'm talking about the Son of God. Came up, rose up, and because of him, we have a hope that does not die. We have a faith that cannot be shaken. We have encouragement and comfort that is everlasting. He is the God of all comfort. I hope that you think about that. And that you draw strength from that this morning. Now, come with me. Let's get into this because I could go on forever and ever about the glories of God. And as I said, this would be a long service. Did y'all have a big lunch? I hope you did. I hope that you did. Kind of kidding, maybe. All right, verses 3 through 7. Let's continue here. All right, so we find the word comfort here in the verses of this scripture here. We find the word comfort. Now, what you may find interesting is that the word comfort there, or a word which means the same, one form of that word or another, is used in the next couple of sentences, the next couple of verses, 10 times. Now, if you're like me, you know that when your father tells you something twice, it's because he's got something you better hear. Likewise, when our Heavenly Father says something 10 times, I think it deserves our attention. I think our attention to that word is probably pretty important there, because I don't think God says anything lightly, nor do I think he repeats himself just because. I'm a preacher, so I repeat myself a lot, right? But when God repeats himself, we'd better listen. We'd better listen. Look at this. Look at this. We often associate the word comfort with a feeling, all right? When you think of comfort, and when I think of comfort today, we often think of being comforted in the sense of making us feel better, having a sort of peace about something, easing or calming fears. But that's actually a very recent understanding of the word comfort. That is not how the word comfort was used in the day of writing this. That's not how it was used in the Greek, and that's not how it was meant here. Though it achieves the same purpose in the way it was intended, when you see the word as it was intended, how it was used in the day, you get a much, I won't say a different message, because it's still the same understanding, but it's a much stronger understanding of what he means by comfort and how that comfort is given. All right, let me explain this here. And a lot of you probably already get this. So the word that's translated here as comfort in the English, here in the King James, it actually has two different words that it's being translated from. One is the Greek version, one is the Latin version. All right, the Greek version, which is paraklesis, all right, that is to strengthen or to fortify, right? To fortis is the Latin there that it comes from, fortis. And I think we can relate with that. We know that we use the word fortify or to make strong, right? And that's kind of what the idea behind comforting. What are you doing when you're comforting someone? You're trying to yield to them strength that they need but maybe don't have in this moment. You're trying to fortify their resolve, fortify their spirit, fortify their hearts, right? You're trying to, and that's kind of the idea behind the word comfort, all right? Now, the reason that we use this word here and the idea behind comfort is to give someone strength to deal with whatever it is that they are going through, strength to get through the storm, right? To see them through it. Comfort is that which is meant not only to help you cope with the storms of life, but to make you strong even amidst the fierceness of life's fury. In other words, it's not just strength to get you through. It's not just strength that, okay, I'm going to give you enough to get you through this. It's enough strength, it's strength so much that you are like a fortress that when the winds blow, no matter how fierce, they don't even sway you. That's the idea behind it. The three little pigs come to mind. It's not just trying to give you a house that can withstand the winds. It's trying to give you a fortress, a mighty fortress that the winds could blow and blow and blow against and never shake you. And that's because we have a foundation in Christ. All right? So let's begin to break this down a little bit here. Look at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, I'm going to try to go a little bit quick here because we're getting short on time already and we're just getting started this morning. All right. So I like this verse because it speaks to me of who God is and how blessed we are by him. Before Paul really dives into the real message, he ensures that our sight is clear and that we see God in all of his uncountable mercies. Now, the Father of mercies means that it's from him which all mercies flow, and that's absolutely true. The mercies of our health, our relationships, our very lives, the things that we've been blessed with, all of these things are results of God. And you may say, well, I see what you're trying to say, preacher, but really it's not. It's a result of my hard work and a life of planning, a life of struggle to get what I have. No, friend, it's not. It's because God said, I'm going to give you two hands and a mind and ability to do that work that you might be blessed and that others might be blessed in you. You see, when we get our thinking right, we see that every mercy that we enjoy, every good thing is of the Father. Amen? Especially those that are dearest to us in this life. They don't belong to us. Your children, your mother, your father don't belong to you. They never did, and now they do mine. They belong to to the Father of lights. They belong to God our Father, for He's their Father. And He says, I'm going to give them to you, to entrust them to your stewardship for a short time. That's a mercy of God to bless us in such a way. And I hope that you see that. I hope that we all acknowledge that that's a mercy and a blessing of God, the time that He gives us with those that we love. Praise God for that. So He is the Father of mercies. But you know, there's something else though. This idea of mercy, it's really the same idea of grace, and here's why. Mercy is undeserved. It is undeserved blessing of God. It's undeserved grace of God. Because if you deserved mercy, then it's not mercy, right? It's what you should have anyway. It's what you're owed. It's what it's right. Mercy is when you give to someone or you comfort someone, you bless someone in a way that they don't really deserve, that's not really owed to them. All right? Same idea. So really, when he says mercy there, it's the same idea as the Father of grace, which is true. But then he says this, he is the God of all comfort. That's the second title that's going to be our focus this morning. And again, I'm going to try and move pretty quick. We're going to go a little bit late, but I think that you'll be quite blessed by this. I know that I am. Verse 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, in all of our troubles, in all of our hard times, says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, you're probably asking, as we ask often when we read Scripture, how? What do you mean? Those are some beautiful words, but how does that apply? What do you mean? What's the gist of that? Because it sounds great, but how does reading that comfort me? How does that provide that comfort, right? Well, I want to give you an explanation. I want to share with you the words of Vernon McGee, who's one of my favorite theological teachers here. I told you about the root word from the Latin, which is fortis, as it's translated from the Greek, and I told you about the Greek word periklesis. He really breaks down, Vernon does, really well, periklesis, which was the word used by the original authors, right? That Latin word fortis was a Latin interpretation of it, which is pretty accurate, but listen to how he explains this. Mr. McGee dives further into the language and he explains it in the Greek. The word in the Greek, periklesis, means to call or to the side of. To call to the side of means to comfort. In other words, it gives this image. The comfort of God, or the God of all comfort, means how does He comfort us? Because God, the Holy Spirit, is called to our side and does not just simply know and is not just aware of what's going on, but He goes through it with you. For He is called to your side. When we use the word comfort, what we're really saying is, I'm going to come beside you. I'm going to be with you in this. I'm going to see you through it. That's the original use in the Greek, to be called to the side. God's not speaking of just anybody. He's saying, no, no, no. I'm going to go with you, even unto the ends of the world. Though the foundations of the heavens shake, I'm right here. I'm right here. And notice that Paul says that we might comfort others with the same comfort that we are comforted of God. Beloved, you and I, the people of God, the children of God, the church, whenever we know others are hurting, what does Paul say? How are we supposed to comfort them? In the same way. Not just to say, hey, I'm praying for you. No, he says, pray for them, of course. But he's saying, come along beside them. Let them know, I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm behind you. I've got you. If you need anything, I am right here. I will not let this overcome you. In the storm, I'll hold the hatch. I'll hold. I guess that's a Navy term. You guys probably won't understand what that says if I don't explain it. I'll hold the hatch. In the Navy, we've got these big ships, and as the storm starts railing, we have something we call setting zebra. All right, and zebra just means you batten down the hatches and get ready for a rocky ride. Here's what we do in the Navy. Let's say you got a ship of 300 people. And that you hear the call, hurricane or storm coming, general quarters, batten down the hatches. Of those 300, 290 men will go below decks. There are 10 people who are designated, and they're on the roster. We know who they are, so that if they go missing, we know who might be missing. Their job, they go out into the storm, topside, where the danger is, and they start securing all the hatches. They start closing off anything that would allow danger to get in, anything that might danger the other 290 men. Folks, that's the imagery of what God says he does. When he says he comes beside you, he says, don't worry. I know it's fearful right now. He says, I'm the one that's going to go batting down those hatches. I'm the one who's going to keep you safe. He says, I've got you in the palm of my hand. I'm beside you in this. That's the imagery there. Now, so Paul goes on to say that we're comforted in all of our tribulations so that we might be able to comfort those who are in trouble in the same way. Now, I'm going to skip ahead here for the sake of time. Paul continues in verses 5 through 7. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, that's another word form of the word comfort, who also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, our comfort is because of Christ. We spoke about that already a little bit this morning. Our comfort is as a result of what Christ has done. It says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, comfort again, and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be of the consolation. Here's the thing I want you to get out of this, and here's the thing that really Paul wanted us to get, and what he was trying to say to the church. You have to understand who Paul was. Paul was a man of suffering. He really was. Think about it, the things that we know he went through from the scriptures. He was whipped. He was beaten. He was stoned and left for dead. All right? He turned his back on all the Pharisees, all his circle of friends. All right? He was imprisoned, shipwrecked. We could go on and on about the things that Paul endured. But what does Paul say to us? He says, all the things that I've endured for Christ. And in doing these things for Christ, he is using me for your blessing to receive that word of God, which came to me that I'm to give to you. And he says, and when you're going through things, because you hold firmly to Christ, you hold firmly to God, knowing that even though the storms of life may rage against you, no matter what you have to go through, no matter how much hurt, no matter the damage to your pride, your relationship, your job, your finances, your wealth, whatever it is, know that because you share in the sufferings of Christ for Christ, you shall also share in the glory and the grace of the promise that's coming to you. That is what he's saying. And in that, we have great comfort. We have great encouragement. David Guzik, who you guys may know, he's an evangelical and a theologian, he says this. He says, sometimes we think that the only consolation is found in a change of circumstances, that God would just make everything better. But God wants us to be consoled. He wants to console us right now in difficult circumstances and to do it through Christ. John 16:33 says, this is the words of Christ speaking here from Scripture. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Anyone can say amen to that? Anyone can say, yeah, you're right. The world does give tribulation. Things are hard sometimes. Maybe things are hard for you right now. But what does he say? He goes on to say, but, there's that word of contrast, be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. I'm going to finish out quickly here. Verses 8 through 11, we'll get through this here rather swiftly. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul's saying, you know, I'm not going to act like it didn't happen. There's some things he's dealing with in Asia, and he doesn't make it clear what that is, but whatever it is, it's such a mighty thing that he's dealing with that he despaired for his own life. He basically was saying, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. This is going to kill me. This is the end. I can't take this, right? He said, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. He said, I came to a place where I came to realize, though, that if I'm dead to myself, then why am I looking to myself for the answers, for the comfort, for the encouragement? He He says, no, I was dead to myself, and I looked to Christ, who raiseth those who are dead, right? Who raiseth those who are dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I hope this morning that you are acknowledging, that you know, that if you are going through something, God will yet deliver you. He will not allow his people to perish. He will not allow for the world to conquer the church. I hope that's an encouragement to you. I hope that that's an encouragement to you. Now, as we close, I want to ask you this morning if you're in need of comfort. If you're like me, then that answer is yes. All right? If you're like me, then right now you're saying, yeah, pet preacher, I could use some comfort. I could use the peace of God. I need the God of all comfort right now. The key to receiving this mercy, this grace, this comfort of God is found at the cross. That's where we go to find this comfort. It's where Christ died to pay for our sins. He makes us righteous. And that righteousness, that very righteousness, is that which allows God to be called to our side. To say, because of the righteousness of Christ, you are now a temple fit for the indwelling of the fullness of God, for the Spirit of God. And when you receive that, then I am with you always. You can face anything, and I will be there with you through it. But it all hinges on the cross that washes us and makes us a vessel fit for the indwelling of God. This morning, if you're in need of comfort, then we'll be praying for you. This morning, if you're in need of comfort and you say, you know, I don't have that peace of God with me. I don't know that the fullness of God has ever indwelled my soul and filled me, but I could sure use him right now. I'm going through something. If you don't have the Lord with you this morning and you need comfort, you need peace, you need that grace, know that he still offers it, and he'll always offer it. In a moment, the congregation is going to sing, and at that time, we invite you to come down here, and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know and receive the God of all comfort.